Hello, Enron employees. This is Ken Lay speaking to you from our Emergency Financial Center here in Barbados. I know you've had to absorb some difficult news over the past several weeks. We all have. Personally, I've had to fire our longtime accounting firm, and I've had to hear a dear friend, the President of the United States, speak of me as if I were no closer to him than the Federal Express guy. And, yes, the company I've worked for and sacrificed for and invested in is currently in Chapter 11, which means major reorganization is ahead. But I'm distributing this tape to Enron employees to tell you the good news. At its current price of 47 cents a share, Enron stock is a better deal than ever. For the first time in years, I'm buying it, and you should too. There's clearly 47 cents of value left in our company. I wouldn't be surprised if by summertime it was back up to 80 or 90 cents. So you can listen to the doomsayers and the re-regulators and the whistleblamers, or you can listen to me and this week's edition of Le Show.
Run. welcome. Hello, welcome to the show from the edge of America, from the home of those homeless. I'm Harry Shearer, welcoming you to the to said broadcast. And first of all, before anything else, just this happened last week, just right after this broadcast was completed. So this is our first chance, really, you and me, to chat about it. I'll do the chatting. Doesn't it appear to you that, well, I'm not even going to ask you because I'm doing the chatting. It appears to me that here's a likely explanation for what happened a week ago. The White House heard that there was bubbling under in the journalistic vineyard. I don't think that can happen, but you know what I mean. A story alleging that President Bush was still drinking or had gone back to drinking alcoholic beverages of one sort or another. And to preempt the publication of that story, what better way to prove the man's not drinking beer than to have him choke on a pretzel? You see what I'm saying? It's preemptive. It's not embarrassing. It's because that's how you wash down. That's how millions of Americans don't choke on pretzels. They wash it down with beer. So, you see, had to choke on it because can't drink the beer. That's all right. You can scoff. Now, ladies and gentlemen, what do they know that we should know? More than 100 members of Congress have decided to return contributions to their campaigns from Enron and Arthur Anderson. Now, they're not returning the contributions to Enron and Arthur Anderson, since that would give Enron and Arthur Anderson some money. They're sending the contributions instead to a fund for Enron employees. More than including Hillary Rodham Clinton. Yeah, she only got $950 from Enron, but still, they must smell something. It's fear. And what do they know we don't know, department? The nuclear power industry lobbied for and received a special tax break in an obscure bill. It was actually, they lobbied for an extension of this special tax break since they're hoping to build some new nuclear power plants under the new nuclear-friendly policy of the Bush Energy Task Force. The exemption says that in the event of a major, little thing, the nuclear power industry would have only limited legal liability. Tom, would you like to favor us with that?
Limited legal liability.
Thank you. Limited legal liability, ladies and gentlemen. Tom?
Limited legal liability.
Thanks. So, fuel storage tanks can blow up and injure a lot of people. They don't have that exemption. Only the nuclear power plants do. What do they know that we don't? Some hot property for you? Because we got a big show today. I can't stress how big a show we got today. For some bad investment advice, ladies and gentlemen, you might turn to Britney Spears. According to the London Observer, she's invested in Planet Hollywood. Yes, it's only gone bankrupt twice. You're right. At one point, it was valued at $2 billion. Hey, I got pocket lint that was at one point valued at $2 billion. That doesn't prove anything. By 1998, it was losing $200 million a year. In October 1999, it filed for bankruptcy protection. It filed for bankruptcy again last October. No, it faced bankruptcy last October and was saved by a $30 million injection of cash. So the time to not really, really not invest in Planet Hollywood would be in October. But Britney Spears has celebrated her investment in Planet Hollywood by dining at Planet Hollywood. God. Britney. Babe. All right, hot property, ladies and gentlemen, for your listening pleasure. Enron Corp. He's not going to stray far from our Ken Lay today. Enron Corporation's Kenneth Lay is putting up three of his four Aspen properties for sale for a total of $15.5 million. Aspen broker Joshua Saslov says the Lays are keeping their small personal residence, a 4,200-square-foot home, valued at $3 million. They bought that home for just under $2 million. The Lay properties for sale, two single-family homes and a lot at the base of Red Mountain, have been on the market since mid-November. Why, that's when everything started. Yes, it is. He said the three properties are owned free and clear by the Lays. Free and clear. No mortgages. You see what I'm saying? Although recently reduced in price, Aspen real estate broker said the two homes located next door to each other by the Roaring Fork River aren't priced for a quick sale. The least expensive of the two is listed at $6.15 million. That's only gone down $350,000 in a week. It sits on the riverfront, wouldn't you? And includes a two-car garage and caretaker's quarters. The four-bedroom, four-and-a-half-bath home is priced at about $1,300 a square foot, top dollar by Aspen standards. Although the Lays have reduced the price of the property to $5,000 less than they paid for it in August of 2000. Hey, in August of 2000, I would have paid that for my pocket lint. The price of the second residence, a five-bedroom log-and-stone home, initially listed at $6.8, has been reduced $300,000. The Lays paid $4.8 in November 99. But Linda Lay, Tom?
Linda Lay?
Yeah. Took it over as a remodeling project, so it's priced accordingly.
Linda Lay.
That's right. The third property is listed as a Red Mountain building site for $2.9 million. They bought the lot 3 years ago for $1.6 million. Kenneth Lay's permanent residence is a $7 million penthouse apartment in Houston, and he could not be reached for comment on anything. On anything for anybody. For any amount. Cuba Gooding Jr. Why would you be doing anything with your home when your movie's just coming out? I don't know. He and his wife are doing a major renovation on a Pacific Palisades house they bought 18 months ago. The house was built in the 40s and is on nearly an acre with canyon views. Well, either you can see a lot of other houses or scrub brush. The architect has worked on home alterations for such stars as Bob Hope and Diane Keaton. Isn't that wild, that extension, that new dining room? Is overseeing work on the 3,500-square-foot house, which has been expanded to 8,000 square feet. Phase 2, nearly ready to get underway, 2 years earlier than planned. How does that happen? Will include a new swimming pool, four-car garage, boxing gym, screening room, and roller hockey court. Phase 1 focused on the main house. From the front door, the actor and his wife wanted visitors to be able to see the kitchen. Hey, Cuba, what's that you're cooking? The intent was to make the house informal, warm, and welcoming. The house has two staircases to maintain family privacy when the intent is to keep the house cold and foreboding. Off the kitchen is a garden room, wine closet, and china pantry. The kitchen blends into a great room. You can't blend into a great room. A great room is a separate... Why would I... The English country-style house with French influences has a master suite with a balcony, a maid's quarters, and four family bedrooms. I bet there's no blending between the maid's quarters and the fam... There is an upstairs sitting room with a fireplace and a guest room that could be a game room. Or it could be a Jeep or a Blazer. The master bedroom also has a fireplace and two walk-in closets. The house, which has a slate roof and copper dormers, is surrounded by a terraced colonnade, which complements the park-like setting. And it's just a house. Kobe Bryant has purchased a Newport Beach home for $4 million. Kobe, get anything you want. Pia Zadora has sold her Malibu house for just under $5 million and listed her Beverly Hills area home at just under $7.5 million. She filed for divorce from her... I didn't even know she was married to this guy. Wow. Not that I'm going to drag that through the radio. It's already dragged through the paper. This is about another house. Zadora's Beverly Hills area home with six bedrooms and about 10,000 square feet. Also has a sunken tennis court. They probably intended it that way. A pool with a spa and expansive lawns. Not expensive lawns. The house on just under 2 acres was built in 1988, but was redone 5 months ago to add environmental and hypoallergenic features. It has bottled water quality pool water, so please don't pee in it. Really. Really. Because it has bottled water quality pool water. Natural paint on the walls. You know, like nature uses. An air filtration system and pesticide-free landscaping and gardens. Zadora added a meditation room, a staff room, nothing natural about that, a laundry and a loft. She retired from show business. Oh, I didn't notice. Okay. I thought she was still in it, but that's either that's just me or that's especially me. And now, ladies and gentlemen, that's not even that. We have too many things here, but we want to get to this thing. That's the thing we want to get to. The regular feature of the show, the apology of the week.
We're so sorry.
A couple of apologies this week. A couple of good ones, I think. An Israeli legislator has apologized for insulting U.S. Ambassador Daniel Kurtzer by calling him, quote, a little Jew boy, unquote. Zvi Hendel of the right-wing National Union Party said he meant to call Mr. Kurtzer, quote, a little man, but the word came out as a racial slur. Instead of saying little man, I admit that I had a slip of the tongue and said little Jew boy, Mr. Hendel said on Wednesday, a day after he delivered the original insult on the floor of Israel's parliament. Mr. Hendel, the legislator involved, returned to the parliament floor and said, in the event that someone was hurt by that expression in this house or in this country, I fully state that I did not mean it, and I apologize. He had originally denounced Mr. Kurtzer, the U.S. ambassador, for criticizing Israel's policy on Jewish settlements. Other members of the parliament immediately objected to Mr. Hendel's statements. The parliament is expected to schedule a special session this coming week to offer Mr. Kurtzer a formal apology. And the president of Delta Airlines has apologized personally to a Muslim high school student who was forced to remove her religiously mandated headscarf by guards hired by the airline at Baltimore Washington International Airport. I think those were Argenbright guards, weren't they? Maybe they were Argendum, I don't know. But Delta president Frederick Reed called 17-year-old Inas Sasur after issuing the formal apology. He said, we regret and apologize for the embarrassment and discomfort you experienced. Be assured we take this matter very seriously. She told the Council on American Islamic Relations that after she went through a security checkpoint on her way to a flight, a guard shouted, hey, you need to take that off, referring to her headscarf. She responded by asking, why do I have to take off my head cover? She was then surrounded by military personnel in camouflage uniform with combat rifles. She became terrified and removed her headscarf immediately. Well, see, it worked. Speaking of which, ladies and gentlemen, isn't it the United States that is now involved in trying to disarm the people on the streets of Afghanistan so that it's safe to walk around there? Yes, it is. Yes, it certainly is. Now, I believe this would be... I'm just going to check this. Why don't you stay right there for one little second? I'm so glad I checked that because I was right. I was wrong. Now, ladies and gentlemen, this is a statement, and I invite you to listen closely with me to it. This is a question and answer today on Fox. By the way, yes, regarding digital TV, the Fox digital replay of their Sunday Yak show on our local station here, not only this morning was blurry, smeary, but the audio was out of sync with the picture. The digital wonderland beckons. But here is a question and answer, a Washington Post reporter asking a question of the Archbishop of Washington, D.C., relating to the conviction this week of a Boston area priest for sexually abusing a child. He is accused of having sexually abused more than 100 children during his career. Here's the question and answer.
How does the Catholic Church
regain trust of its parishioners and others when you have a story like this come out? It was going on for decades. Many in the church were aware of it.
Well, all I can say is, first of all, I agree with Cardinal. It's the most terrible thing that can happen. It's always bad when there's abuse of a child, but when it's done by someone who is in a position of trust, in a position of confidence, as priests are, religious are, then it's terrible. It's a disaster, and your heart breaks for the families. Your heart breaks for the youngsters who, in the presence of someone who they would want to trust, finds that they're being threatened or abused. So that goes without saying. There should be zero tolerance for that. And I think I know the Archdiocese of Washington. For the last 10 years, there's been zero tolerance of that. How these other things happen? Well, I know they wouldn't happen today. I think sometimes we make judgments of what happened years ago by the standards of today, when we know more.
Yeah, we know more about not abusing children today than we did years ago. Isn't that amazing? You get to the end of that, and it's like, after all the we know more today. We know we shouldn't do this now. The New York Times Company's online unit is quickly taking steps to better monetize its user base, with new requirements for users and a new tool designed to encourage them to give up more personal information. NewYorkTimes.com now requires consumers who sign up to give more user information than previously. In addition to email address, gender, zip code, and country, the site now asks for year of birth, job, function, title, and industry, and income. Just to capture more information on consumers for use in segmenting the site's audience. Advertising is targeted in aggregate to the users to whom the campaigns are most pertinent, said spokesperson Christine Mohan. By requesting more detailed demographic and preference information from our users, we can offer more effective targeting capabilities for our advertisers. Zap, ladies and gentlemen, you're being targeted. You may not want to have the wireless home of the future. Mike Cronus at the Consumer Electronics Show in Las Vegas demonstrated smart card-based SmartWrite technology. The SmartWrite system provides end-to-end copy protection for content entering a SmartWrite-enabled home wireless network. If you wire up all your TVs and your computers in your house like they want you to do. SmartWrite keeps content encrypted from the time it reaches a digital set-top box at home until it is rendered. It will honor a local entitlement control message, such as copy never or copy once. By putting the SmartWrite technology in place, enforcing rights management in the home, says the spokesman for the company, we can help content owners create a new business revenue model. Content owners, for example, can start charging consumers every time their digital content is redistributed within the home or viewed several times during a certain number of days. Philips Electronics, which invented the compact disc, says the controversial attempts by the record industry to market copy-protected CDs will fail because consumers just don't like it. Philips, dream on.
Everybody's hand in hand, swinging down the lane. Everybody's feeling grand, swinging down the lane. That's the time I miss the bliss that we might have known. Nights like this, when I'm all alone, when the moon is on the rise, baby, I'm so blue, watching lovers making eyes like we used to do. When the moon is on the wane, still I'm waiting all in vain. Should be swinging down the lane with you. Thank you.
on the rise, baby, I'm so blue. Watching lovers making eyes like we used to do. When the moon is on the wane, still I'm waiting all in vain. Should be swinging down the lane with you.
It's newsmaker time here on the show, and I think we're going to rock. We're going to rock the House of Journalism with this one, because this is a big get, as they say. Talking to us via some kind of satellite phone or video phone or telephone, perhaps, from ship where he's being held by American authorities, is John Walker Lind, the so-called American Taliban. Mr. Walker or Mr. Lind, how should I refer to you?
Any way you want, Harry. My Muslim name, or mm-hmm. or just Mr. Lind, or John, or Walker Lind.
Yeah.
John. Just call me John.
John. Okay, John.
Exhausted just from that.
Yeah, let alone the fighting. Where are you exactly?
Well, I'm in a ship, Harry. And by the way, I'm a longtime fan of yours.
Well, thank you. Let's not waste
the... Love your stuff, because, you know, I grew up out in California.
Sure, I know. Although, I don't know if our affiliate reaches Marin. But anyways, I appreciate that. No. So you're on board a ship? Are you on deck? Are you in the hold? Where are you?
No, I'm down in the hold, as they call it, and kind of in my little cabin. It's, you know, I'm kind of under 24-hour watch down here, and...
Are you shackled?
No, I'm not shackled at the moment, no.
Okay. Are there times of the day...
I said, was I spackled?
No.
It's a weird connection.
I understand. Are there times of the day when you're shackled?
Yes, there are.
Okay.
And there are times of the day when I'm spackled.
I was going to say, probably,
I'm just kidding.
Follows.
I tell you, if I don't involve a little humor, I'm going to probably just go cuckoo time over here. You know, so if you forgive me, I didn't mean to make light of it.
No.
It's my own situation. I guess I can make light of it, I guess.
I suppose. If not you, who?
Right, exactly.
You sound a little older than your 20 years that we've heard.
Well, I'll tell you, I've aged a lot just in the last couple of months, Harry. Let me tell you that.
Yeah. Was it the Afghani food or...?
No, just everything I've been through.
Oh,
with the attacking and the being and the, you know.
The wondering?
Yeah, and just the fighting and the,
yeah.
And the Mishigas.
Yeah.
Just what came down here in
now
Afghanistan.
All right, so now you are...
Although I'm not in Afghanistan right now.
No, I understand. You're on ship.
Right.
You are an American Taliban. You joined the Taliban.
I'm really not going to be able to say too much about my particular case, but yes.
Oh, you know, I thought you were going to say you're not too much of a joiner.
I'm not much of a joiner,
yeah.
You know. Although I love to be part of a group.
Yeah, the camaraderie?
With sports, it was always individual sports for me.
Yeah, yeah.
Running, canoeing.
Yeah.
Not your team stuff.
Right. So this was an opportunity to bond?
Well, I just got caught up in it. Early, Harry, as
all right.
You probably know.
Yeah.
I don't know how much everybody knows back there, but it's the one thing as a teenager I kind of got swept up into. And, you know, I couldn't stick with guitar lessons. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It was the first thing that I really could kind of say, whoa, this is something that I can at least feel good about myself. I stayed with something.
Yeah, you're down with this, right?
For me?
You had the feeling you were down with this, right?
Down with it, right, exactly.
As the kids say.
I've lost a little of my... hip language since I've been not really in America all that much.
I understand. Now, John...
Do they still say booty call?
Yes, only, but not really as often as they might.
Okay.
John, your lawyers are making the case now, as they're preparing your defense, that apropos of what we were talking about, that you were an impressionable kid, that's how all this came about.
Well, that's true. You know, it might be hard for people to believe, but, you know, that film Crying Game?
Yes.
I didn't know until I saw the guy's penis at the end that he was a guy.
Well,
and everybody I knew, like, knew way ahead of that, you know, right early in the movie.
Yeah, yeah, yeah,
yeah. I mean, idea of kind of how gullible I am.
Well,
I'm not trying to make...
Excuse
me. Myself.
Right.
I'm just saying that...
We need to get to know the real you.
Well, I'm the last one to know when someone's, like, pulling my leg or whatever.
Uh-huh.
And so in terms of the question, am I impressionable,
mm-hmm.
you might say that I am, And I am going to say that I am.
Okay. So you are?
I am.
Okay. John, tell us a little bit about life aboard ship. What's your day like? Who else is there on the ship with you?
Right. Just other prisoners, you know, just sort of the high-visibility prisoners.
The big leaguers?
Huh?
The big league type individual?
Yeah, I guess you're A prisoners. So yeah. It's like I don't know if it's patting myself on the back. I guess it's a left-handed pat on the back. Yeah. There is such a thing.
Yeah.
The days are pretty full. There's a meal, and it's kind of a neutral meal.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, thank you for the cookies.
Oh, well, we don't need to talk about that now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's a little gym time and some entertainment.
Whoa.
And I can be kind of left later alone with my thoughts, you know.
John?
Yeah.
You mentioned entertainment. What,
right, yeah. What? I mean, if you can call Hope Floats entertainment. They had a movie for us last night, you know.
Uh-huh. Hope Floats?
Yeah.
Had you seen it before?
That's cute. You know, I hadn't seen it before. It's cute, but it's not. I wouldn't pay $8 to see it.
Well, you didn't.
I didn't. That's true.
Are there any live entertainers that visit? I mean,
people still say yo in the house.
Yes.
Still say that back home?
Yes, they do. Yes, they do.
That's the stuff you miss.
Yes, I imagine. Now, you mentioned entertainers. Are there live entertainers?
Not so much. I mean, Rita Moreno's on board. She did a lecture about Latino women in film.
Really?
That's about it. Mostly, it's you know, this isn't a country club, really.
I understand. No magicians.
Serious business.
No magicians or anything like that.
Not yet.
Yeah. So you live in hope.
I do. Well, I don't. Not really. I hadn't even thought of it till you planted that in my my mind, but. I'll tug their sleeve about it, I'll tell you that.
Okay.
It's slow here.
Now, I would imagine, now one day much like the next, except for the change in entertainment then?
Yeah, it really is a lot of time to think, let me put it that way, Harry.
Yeah, and when you think, what do you think about your experience? Are you glad you went over there and fought with the Taliban? Do you regret it? Anything you would change about it?
I'm not one of those look back and wonder guys.
Uh-huh.
You know?
Are you one of those plow ahead?
One of those do a ridiculous thing and keep moving guys, really.
Uh-huh. Okay.
You know?
Yeah.
Do a traitorous thing, perhaps, and move on.
Mm-hmm.
I feel Mr. Bob Dylan said it best. He not busy born is busy dying, you
mm-hmm.
know?
He not busy being born.
He not busy be?
Being born.
He not busy being born.
Is busy dying.
What is it?
He not be... John, you're held up by many people as a symbol of Marin County. Are you aware of that?
Well, I hadn't been, but that's very flattering.
Well, I don't think they mean it in a flattering...
They don't?
No. I think they mean it in a way of you were indulged, you were pampered, you had liberal parents who believed in anything or nothing.
Well, that's painting with a roller, Harry. That really is.
Well, fill us in with the fine brush, then.
Okay, well... My parents were very encouraging.
Mm-hmm.
They were supportive.
Uh-huh.
We had craft night.
Uh-huh.
Every one night a week we would make crafts.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you meant you would eat macaroni and cheese.
No. Oh. We made crafts. I made, you know, as a kid, made my own stuffed animals with
uh-huh.
mom and dad. We had craft night. We sloppy Joe night.
Yeah.
I mean, it was like pretty normal stuff, really. I mean, you know, the press has to glom on with the stuff.
Was that your uncle or your brother-in-law, some relative of yours?
Who's that?
Sloppy Joe?
No, that's the sandwich mix.
Oh, I see. Oh, sorry. All right.
It's really delicious. It's really, that's when I was eating meat.
Yeah.
Now a Sloppy Joe is some soy cakes and an orange sauce, you know?
Uh-huh, yeah, but with maybe some eggplant ground up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I wish.
Yeah. You are a vegan, in other words?
Yes, I am. Pretty strict dietary thing with my situation, as you know.
Yes. Now, back to your home life for a moment, John. And we're talking to John Walker, the American Taliban, on an exclusive newsmaker call. John, your dad left your mom, as I understand it, for another man. Did that play...
What?
Hmm?
What?
According to what I have here, your father left your mom for another man when they split up. Now, did that...
That knocked the wind out of me a little bit, Harry. I didn't really know that.
Whoa. You're saying you didn't know that before?
I take a little mental walk around the block on that one.
John, you hadn't heard this?
A guy? You mean a guy?
He went with a guy. Like Jan Wenner? Left his wife for a guy?
He did too.
Wow, you have been away for a long time.
Well, that's well, what's your question, Harry?
God, now I have so many. You really, you'd not heard that, in other words.
I had not heard that.
Okay, that that would be my first question. My second...
That's something I'm going to have to...
No, you have to look into that.
That's a Dad and John thing, you know?
Yeah, but knowing that now...
Yeah.
Did that have any role to play in your decision to become an American Taliban? I don't know how it could have.
No, I don't think it had anything to do with that. It might have had something to do with my love of the American musical theater. I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm not a psychiatrist.
Yeah. You can't put yourself on the couch.
I don't even have a couch.
No. Describe your chamber or your cell. Are you in a cell?
I'm in kind of the brig here on the ship, you know?
Yeah. So you have a bed?
I have a bed that you can, which you can kind of hook back against the wall. You can chain it back up against the wall and have the whole room. It's about a 6 foot, maybe 8 by 8 foot room with a little porthole. And
yeah, do you have a toilet, John?
Yes.
Do you have a toilet?
I do have a toilet. Yes. Here it is.
Okay, and what else is in the room? Do you have a roommate?
There's just a sign that says, "Please douse all lights. No smoking when the smoking lamp is off."
Yeah.
I have no roommates.
Okay. The other prisoners, the other prisoners, your fellow prisoners there are...
I don't even see them. I'm pretty sequestered.
I see. So you don't know if they speak English, you don't talk to them, you don't...
They do not, well, from what my experience, they do not speak English.
Yeah. Were these the people you were captured with? Were these your buddies?
No, I wasn't captured with any of my buddies, really. A lot of them were killed, actually.
I'm sorry. I'm not sure.
You know, you learn not to get close to people as a traitor.
Yeah.
Although there were some wonderful people. I know that's hard to believe, but
who was your
they're all dead.
Who was your favorite Taliban?
My favorite Taliban?
Yeah.
That's like saying who your favorite kid is or something, you know?
Yeah.
I don't have any kids, so I would imagine it'd be something like that.
Yeah.
There was a guy, Abdul, mm-hmm. who did the most amazing Omar Sharif impressions.
Wow.
And you know, Omar Sharif, you think, well, that's a movie star from 30 years ago. Well, you know, Harry, out here, you get movies so late.
Yes. Does he also do the present day one, the old one?
No, he doesn't.
The elderly one, I should say.
No, he does not.
That would be entertaining.
At least he didn't last time I saw him. This is a few weeks ago.
Yeah, he might have picked that up.
He probably has a lot of time now to work on it.
Yeah. John, are you looking forward to your trial? Are you afraid about the upcoming legal...
Lawrence, don't go. Go around, Lawrence. You know.
Yeah. Are you afraid about your upcoming trial? Do you have anxiety about it? Are you looking forward to it as an opportunity to clear your name? What's your feeling about it?
Well, I'm trying not to think about it, Harry. I'm not only am I a not look back kind of a guy, I'm a kind of a put one foot in front of the other kind of a guy.
Uh-huh.
And a worry about tomorrow when tomorrow comes kind of a guy. I'm three different kinds of guys, really, when you think about it. I'm the don't look back guy. What was the other guy I said?
You're the put one foot in front of the other guy.
The other guy, and I've forgotten the third guy.
Yeah, but you're at least three different kinds of guys.
Yeah.
Okay. Have you?
The question.
Have you been in
contact? I'm also a forget the question kind of guy.
I guess that would be the fourth kind of guy. John, have you been in contact with your attorneys while you've been on the boat or the ship?
Yes, I am. I'm allowed to talk to my attorneys, and I have been quite in touch with them. And
okay.
I'm just going to be the John Lynn that I am. I'm going to let the jury see that, and I'm going to wear a sweater,
mm-hmm.
kind of a cardigan sweater.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Do you own one of those now?
I'm going to be getting one of those.
Yeah.
Kind of like what the Menendez boys wore.
Right.
Not to make me look, you know, like a kid or anything, but just because it's me. It is really who I am,
yeah.
you know.
Yeah, yeah. Are you going to shave?
Oh, yeah, I'll be shaving for the trial.
Yeah, okay. And probably get a haircut, too?
Probably.
Yeah.
Collar length.
Yeah. John, are you any relation to Peter Lynde Hayes?
No, I'm not. I don't even know who that is.
Oh, okay. He's just the only Lind that I'd heard of before you. And Walker, you're no relation to George Herbert Walker.
No, not that I know of.
Bush. No, okay. So you're no relation to anybody that we'd heard of.
Harry, I'm related to people you've heard of.
Really?
Yeah, my father and...
Oh, I see, but not before this incident.
No. Okay. Who were you thinking of might have been?
Peter Lind Hayes.
Who's that?
John, do you have a message for the American people? You know that a lot of Americans feel that you did a bad thing.
I'm getting that impression, I'll tell you that. My lawyers aren't playing hardball with me on that. Apparently,
yeah.
I've raised a few hackles over there, and I guess I just have to try to set the record straight.
I think you rubbed a few folks the wrong way.
Yeah.
It's a red flag kind of situation when your name comes up.
Well, listen, you got to break a few eggs to make an omelet, Harry. I'm not saying that I'm a saint, but I'm just looking forward to getting the cardigan on and getting into court and just saying, hey, I'm John Walker Lynn. I'm an impressionable kid. I'm really impressionable, and that's it. I'm impressionable, and what are you gonna do?
Yeah. So it's gonna be a character defense.
Yeah. That's what I think we're gonna do. And you gotta respect a guy who just comes out and just says he's impressionable, don't you? I mean, my God, what more? You know what?
How much more can you?
Something.
Yeah. How much more can you give? Is that your? Is that what you mean?
Pardon me?
How much more can you give than that?
Well, I mean, what do you want? I'm impressionable.
John, did you feel that a lot of secrets were being kept from you, or that you were just basically, did they make you feel like
people aren't Italians, Harry. They're not emotional.
Yeah.
They're not talk with your hands kind of tell you everything people.
Right. Right.
These are kind of, they got to get to know you.
Close to the vest kind of people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I think so.
Yeah. Speaking of clothing, what are you wearing while you're on this? Are you not wearing a burka now, are you?
Oh, no, I'm wearing a parka.
Oh, okay. So it's cold on the ship?
Oh, it's cold.
Yeah. John, is there anything you want to say to the American people on this broadcast?
Well, I appreciate the opportunity, Harry. How big an audience do you have?
Well, I don't really get the ratings, so I don't. We're on a number of stations. We're on almost 100 stations.
Well, I'd just like to say there's two sides to every story.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a guy, I'm kind of a take-me-as-I-am guy.
That's the kind of guy you are.
Yeah, that's in addition to the other guys that I am.
Mm-hmm. And so
take a wait-and-see approach, America.
Yeah, okay.
That would be my little catchphrase for myself.
Okay. John, I thank you for giving us the opportunity to get to know you a little bit.
Thank you, Harry.
I can't wish you luck because, I'm not sure that you deserve any, really.
Well, wish the wind may always be at my back, then.
Okay. Is that a good thing?
Sure.
Oh, okay. John, I wish the wind always at your back.
Thank you, Harry. Same to you.
Okay. And that's a good thing when you wish that to me, too?
Sure.
Yeah, okay. John Walker Lind, ladies and gentlemen, live from...
Harry, ciao.
Bye-bye. Take care. Live on our Newsmaker line, ladies and gentlemen, only on Le Show.
I don't mind if I can get to nowhere, circling the seat of light. I've been greedy for some destination. I can't get to where. Shells to hide ourselves. I tried but can't find refuge in the anger. I walk the mystery of the curve. Five colors blind the eyes. See the world inside. Amazed alone. I don't mind if I'm getting nowhere. Circling. Darkest soul illuminates. The sky is changing. I'm unknowing, knowing. As every sign of new life waits. Five colors blind the eyes. See the world inside. Opening my hands.
Ladies and gentlemen, some news from the business world. A scientist who suggested the French food industry was making huge profits and endangering public health by oversalting products was classified as a threat to national security on a par with foreign spies and terrorists, according to a respected French magazine. After making a report on salt to the French government, Pierre Ménéton was spied on by the security services, according to Le Point. Mr. Ménéton said excessive use of salt could be blamed for 75,000 heart attacks every year, a third of which were fatal. But the food industry opposed cutting back on salt because it benefited from the sale of soft drinks to thirsty consumers, he alleged. Sodium, one of salt's major constituents, has been linked to high blood pressure, strokes, and pancreatic. Companies say it not only enhances taste, but is a preservative. Oh, well, there you go. All right, then you got an excuse. Of course I robbed the bank. That's where the money was. All right, why didn't you say so? And Yeslam Bin Laden, you know this, one of Osama Bin Laden's 53 siblings, is planning to launch a clothing line under a label that might carry a marketing challenge. The name would be Bin Laden. He applied for trademark protection for the label in Switzerland and in Europe several months before September 11th. Despite the name's overwhelmingly negative associations, now he's decided to move forward with the line. The name is one of the most famous names in the world, says Bin Laden's Swiss lawyer. Okay, so O.J. Chocolate's coming right up. And now, ladies and gentlemen, it's famous. It's one of the most famous in the world. Just quickly, let me read a trade for you from Top 40 Airplay Monitor magazine covering the radio industry. Rock station WZTA Miami asked listeners what they would do to win a trip to the Rose Bowl in Pasadena, as well as to a New Year's Eve performance by Guns N' Roses in Las Vegas. The prize went to listener Daniel Vasquez after he ate 94.9 live earthworms. What's 9/10 of an earthworm? Anyway, just quickly from the trades, because, you know, as I told you, there's a lawsuit going on between the two new reality shows, The Chair and The Chamber. The producers of The Chair on ABC allege that the producers of The Chamber on Fox stole the idea for torturing a contestant during a round of questions and then monitoring his or her vital signs. There's another show that appears to be outside the ken of the legal fray thus far.
Hello, I'm Bjorn Borg. You know, sometimes reality television surprises you by taking you somewhere you've never been before. Sometimes it surprises you by taking you someplace amazingly familiar, maybe even right around your own corner. We've all heard of a gut check. Well, let me invite you to look even deeper inside yourself. Welcome to the Butt Check.
Each week, young, daring contestants try to answer 10 questions. But with each question, they have to maintain their cool while an ever-escalating array of challenges comes up their own wazoo through the Chamber of Horrors known as the Tube.
Cooper,
yep.
You've got 17 spiders up inside you right now. How are you feeling?
Okay. Not okay.
Well, maybe the spiders can help you with the $10,000 question. On what TV show did Tori Spelling get her start? Jennifer, that's a 120-degree propane flame inside you right now, which will increase in temperature every second you don't answer the question.
I sure hope I know it.
Me too. For $20,000,
right.
Who won the Emmy for Best Actor in a Drama last year?
Uh-oh.
I think this is going to hurt the tube as much as it hurts you, Jen.
I hope so.
You've seen reality challenges before, but this time it's personal.
Join me, Bjorn Borg, for the Butt Check. It's a tube full of surprises.
The next step is the butt check. Coming very soon. It's just two bots.
Ladies and gentlemen, please keep sending in your stories, your anecdotes about life under the new security regime at American airports, because I'll round them up and feature them on a broadcast in the next couple of weeks. But that's going to do it for this edition of the show. The program returns next week at the same time over these same stations, over NPR worldwide throughout Europe, on the USN 440 cable system in Japan, around the world through Armed Forces Network. On shortwave at WBCQ, the planet, 7.415 megahertz. All over North America on XM satellite radio. And around the world on your computer whenever you want it at two locations, www.harryshearer.com and www.kcrw.com. And it would be just like owning one of Ken Lay's Aspen homes if you'd agree to join with me then, would you? All righty. Thank you very much. The email address for this broadcast is lemail, L-E-M-A-I-L, at interworld.net. Attachments in your dreams. The show comes to you from Century of Progress Productions and reaches you through the facilities of SAS, a satellite service of KCRW Santa Monica, a community recognized around the world as the home of the homeless.